Weencast, a Ween podcast with Shane and Rory.
Hey, what's up? This is Shane.
And this is Rory.
And this is Weencast. And we welcome you to a new episode. What's going on, everybody?
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back. A little Mr. Carter.
Yeah. Hope you're having a wonderful holiday season and that you're able to take some time with your family or just by yourself. Hope you're just, you know, maybe getting away from the family and listening to this podcast and enjoying yourself.
Yes, and Merry Christmas and happy holidays, everybody. And yeah. Dude, just put the earbuds in and then you can be hanging out with family and have this podcast on while you're doing it, you know?
Yeah, they don't need to know you're enjoying Weencast while you're suffering through their bullshit.
Yeah, so enjoy this holiday release, and we'll also have another release for you for the holidays on Patreon. Mm-hmm. So you should check that out as well, because what else do you need on the holidays but more Weencast podcast shit?
More Weencast. To listen to.
So we got you covered. I don't even remember what the hell we got on Patreon. Oh, that's right, you went to that awesome little like charity event where Chris Harford and Crescent Moon and like all sorts of awesome Ween adjacent shit going on.
Yeah, check out our episode on Crescent Moon at Dharma Bums in the Doylestown New Hope area on patreon.com.
Yeah, a little extra Christmas, a little extra Christmas is all around us. Come on and let it snow. You know?
We're going to talk about another show from our youth.
From the annals of history.
Yeah, from the sands of time. But before we do that, some new news. If you've been living under a rock, next year was announced the 30th anniversary show of Chocolate and Cheese.
Oh, man, I'm salivating, dude. I am salivating.
Yeah, dude. The Mann Music Center in fucking Philadelphia.
Hell yeah, dude. The Mann. Have they ever played at the Mann before?
No, this is the band's first time.
Dude. And guess what? Weencast is gonna be there, motherfuckers.
So we actually wound up getting lawn tickets, and I'm fine with the lawn tickets. I really am. You know, I had surfed around a little bit to try to, you know, see what was available as far as the seats go. And we're actually going to have 5 people. So it's not just going to be Rory and I. We got a nice little crew going. And it's like, hey, man, if we want to hang out and enjoy each other's company, let's just hit the lawn. You know?
Yeah, man. The lawn is a beautiful idea. It's going to be a beautiful autumn day in Philadelphia. Dude, you know, let me tell you about the Mann. First off, the Mann is a great like amphitheater,
yeah,
in a big park space in like West Philly. And the last time I was at the Mann was actually Andy DeFranco opened for Bob Dylan back in like 99.
Wow, dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, dude, that was a good show.
Well, I got one for you.
Lay it on me, brother.
The last time I was at the Mann was this summer for fucking Culture Club.
Oh, man. Bringing it back.
I tumble for ya. They played that.
Did they do Karma Chameleon?
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah, Karma Chameleon was like one of the last songs of like the main like set before the encore. So by the time they got done playing Karma Chameleon, you could just see people like pouring out after that.
Nice. They were like, yeah. we got touched by God.
Yeah.
On Karma Chameleon. Now we're out.
After that, it was just like a floodgate. You know, they just opened the floodgates and people just poured out.
That's fantastic. That's amazing.
No, that was actually a really cool show. And yes, it was the first time I had been to the Mann in a long, long time too. I think maybe we had gone to see Fish but it's been, I think probably about 10 years, 2013, 14. Something, but yeah, man, the Mann is great. It's a perfect size, not too big, not too small, as long as we have some good weather. But you had mentioned a nice autumn night, because this is going to be September 27th, so it literally is the 30th anniversary of the date that Chocolate and Cheese was released.
Wow.
And the band will play the whole album. So that's fucking cool as hell, man.
Dude, that's wild to think that we're cycling through like the 30th anniversaries now.
Yes.
Of like major Ween events.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? But Chocolate and Cheese, you know, as much as we want to go down those geeky, you know, rabbit holes about the pod and Pure Guava and the ones that came after that, but Chocolate and Cheese is really what like put the band on the map. You know, I mean, yeah, they had Push the Little Daisies, which was from Pure Guava, and that was like that alternative hit and whatnot. But Chocolate and Cheese is just such a great record from start to finish. No one can complain about just the continuity of that whole record.
Oh, it put them, I mean, it got them lots of media exposure.
And just the fact that those are really, you've said it on the show before, those are really the standards of Ween. All these 30 years of them playing shows, and that's been sort of like the backbone of the majority of those live shows.
Yeah. Well, you think something like Roses Are Free and Voodoo Lady,
mm-hmm.
Spinal Meningitis. I mean, those are songs that are played all the time.
What Diener was talking about.
Yes, indeed.
We could just name them all. But anyway, we will be there, and, you know, it's interesting that they announced this so far in advance, but hey, man, I'm not complaining.
Yeah, I'm not even sure. Is that a Friday or a Saturday?
I think it's a Friday.
It's a Friday? Dude, I know I'm going to have to take the day off from work. My plan is to be there early. It's too far out for me to worry about work at this point.
Well, let's just say that if there's anybody that's going to be around town, you know, hanging out, I'm sure there's going to be plenty of people that will come in for that whole day and like the whole weekend and stuff. Like we hope to see you there. We hope to hang out. I agree with Roy 100%. I'd love to be there for like the whole day, and we're certainly going to try to be there, you know, hanging around Philly and whatnot for the whole day.
Yeah, man.
So we hope to see you there.
Yeah, man.
And meet as many peeps as possible.
Come to Philly, man. We be jamming.
Is your cutting board dried out, ugly, and lacking luster? Do your tables have too many water rings to count and need a fix? Are your kitchen utensils old and damaged? Maybe you just want to add a little bit of natural wood beauty to your home. Whatever it is, you can count on West Brandywine Woodworks to provide for you. We make high-quality custom hardwood items for your home. From cutting boards to shelving, West Brandywine Woodworks has you covered. Find us on Facebook and Instagram. Mention Weencast when you order for 21% off. So give us a like and a follow, and don't forget to mention Weencast for 21% off your order. West Brandywine Woodworks. Custom simplicity for your home.
Anyway, that's just hyping up for the future, but that's not why we're here.
We are here to take you to the past. Again.
Yes. Just a little over 20 years ago.
So the show we're going to talk about tonight, we're going to go back to that Quebec era. August 1st, 2003, at the Promo West Pavilion in Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, yeah, baby.
So the last show that we had talked about from this time period was what? Club Laga, am I right?
Yes, Club Laga, which was
July 25th. So now here we are the following week, 8-1, and we're already, one of us is already back to another show.
Hell yeah, bitches.
Wow.
Club Laga, as I recall, was the opener for the tour, and they've been pretty much nonstop there for the whole week, and now they find themselves in Columbus, Ohio, and this is my first Columbus show. Back in the day, living in State College, you know, Columbus is within, like, the six-hour sort of radius. It's within the realm of, you know, a doable distance for a show. So, yeah, you know, I guess we'll just jump in and talk about it. This is actually, it's an interesting show because this is the first show that we've covered that we weren't able to find a recording of it.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, what we typically do is, you know, we try to scrounge up any memories that we have of, you know, the shows and the songs that they played and whatnot, obviously read the set list. But we always go back and at least listen to the recordings of the whole show ourselves. And this is the first one that we don't have one. We were not able to find one. And we reached out to, as many people as we could, I feel like, just say, hey, you know, do you know if the show was recorded? Do you have a recording? And it just didn't happen.
And, you know, we definitely crowdsourced a little bit for this episode. So we're going to be giving some shout outs to some fans out there. First and foremost, Fred Moore, August Forming, because he was a big time taper, especially back then for Ween. And Fred feelers out all over the taper community, and no one had this tape. It's crazy. Fred even says, he's like, talks to his buddy Peter, and he also talks to his buddy Josh, and they both say the same thing, which is that they have all the shows leading up to it and after it, but right, they're missing this show.
Right, right, right.
And so it's crazy. It's like they all say the same damn thing. It's nuts. And Fred actually gave us a picture. We'll have to put that up on the Patreon. This picture of all the tapes from his buddy. And it's like, it's got all the other dates all around that, but it's missing. If I see First Avenue there, but it's missing the first. It's like, what the heck? Where did it go? It's crazy.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
So that's, so that's the interesting first thing about this show, is that there's like no like recording of it. But anyway, so I guess I'll tell a little bit about how I got out there.
Please.
You know, I was with, at that point, I was dating Amy, who's my wife. So anyway, it was pretty much, she's a big Ween head too. So between us, it was like, dude, we're going to rock out as many shows as we possibly can. And we were both also working at this pizza shop at the time. I know that we all went to Club Laga together the week before.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think basically what happened was, me, Hannah, and Amy are all, we're, at the time, we're like the three big cooks at the Gobbers and like the pizza shop. Because we had all gone the week before, Amy, I think, more or less took one for the team and was like, I'll just stay behind, because someone had to like run the pizza shop, basically. And so it was kind of like, okay, Hannah and Rory are going to do a little road trip, a little Hannah and Rory road trip, just like the two of us. But the other interesting thing was, is that I didn't have my own car, and Amy needed the car for work, I guess. So I had to borrow her mom's car, a Corolla, a silver Corolla.
The woman is a saint. What can we say? And if this is 2003, I'm trying to think of when I had my first Corolla. Because I had three different ones over the years.
We've had a Corolla in the mix too.
I'm pretty sure I at least had my first one by then.
Yeah. And we didn't stay in a hotel or anything. We just really, as far as I can just remember, is we zipped out there, basically parked somewhere in town, and kind of like made our way to the show. Like we didn't have like the whole day to like hang out in Columbus. We just kind of went in and like took care of business, as far as I remember.
Wow. On a mission.
Yeah, dude, on a mission. And the show is at the Promo West Pavilion, which is now called like the Kemby or something. Kemby Live or something.
Who the fuck is that?
I don't know. Apparently, product placement? Though, this has like a amphitheater, but the tickets are billed, or the show is billed as an indoor stage. I don't really remember what it looked like, but I guess Promo West Pavilion had like split outdoor pavilion and an indoor stage that was sort of like two sides of the same like coin or some shit.
Yeah. And it's interesting because if they have an outdoor space, or it's an outdoor venue, why wouldn't this show be outdoors? Because it's, you know, the beginning of August. So you think, okay, it's summer, but maybe just based on the size, okay, this is what we'll do if it's not too big. And then the bigger shows will move into the outdoor space or something.
Yeah. I also give a shout out to Gop and Roger, two other people that we ended up meeting at the show, that went out like separately, part of the state college contingent.
It's kind of interesting that Amy stayed back to run Gopper's Pizza when Gopper himself came to the show, to this show.
Yes. Oh no. And knowing that Gop came along to the show as well, that sort of actually gives more of a picture to it, because no, that's exactly right. But yeah, dude. So anyway, do you want to, read the set list?
Yeah, I'd love to. Buckingham Green, The Stallion Part 3, Happy Colored Marbles, The Grobe, Take Me Away, Waving My Dick in the Wind, Nan, Spring Theme, Voodoo Lady, Bananas and Blow, She's Your Baby, Roses Are Free, The Mollusk, Reggae Junkie Jew, Poop Ship Destroyer, You Fucked Up, The Going Gets Tough from the Get-Go, Zoloft, The Blarney Stone, and then for the encore, Touch My Tutor, Booze Me Up and Get Me High, and LMLYP.
For people not counting, that's 22 songs. And so one of the things you absolutely have to note about this show is how short that set list is.
Yeah, that's a little on the short side.
Dude, if you go, yeah, if you go on like Brown Bass, for example, and you look, a quote unquote regular show, like 22 songs, this has got to be one of the shortest ever.
Yeah, man. And without a recording, it's kind of hard to figure out like how long some of these songs were. I mean, there's a couple of really nice, like jam out, you know, traditional jam out songs in here. Obviously, Voodoo Lady, but Reggae Junkie Jew and Poop Ship Destroyer are in the main set.
Mm-hmm.
So those could have been pretty long. And then obviously LMLYP, but to just have the regular set only be 19 songs, you know, that's pretty short. It's a pretty low number of songs.
Yes. And at this point, like, interestingly enough, even though Quebec is about to be released in just a couple days, they only have 2 songs on here from Quebec.
Yeah, so this is like the full-on like Quebec tour at this point has kicked off, and it's August 1st is the show we're talking about, and Quebec is to be released on the 5th.
Yeah, it's just Zoloft and Happy Colored Marbles, and at this point, Zoloft is like a common. I mean, it's like this is the 31st time that's been ever played, which is a low number, but that's because it only came out like earlier that year. But it's
right.
Or like last year. And so it's been played at like every, it's basically been played at like just about every show it possibly could be played at since it first came out the year before. And Happy Colored Marbles is already at the 18th. So that's already starting to get up as well. But that's it for Quebec. And they absolutely were playing a lot more Quebec songs at other shows earlier this year.
Right.
And I wonder about the short set list. And I wonder, would they have gone into it like planning to play such a short list? Because that seems, it seems to me like they cut it short. And then I wonder what songs did they cut out of it? And probably some Quebec songs. I don't know. It's hard to say, man. It's like,
yeah,
19 songs for a main set.
Yeah.
Anything but like a festival set. Like, that's just really short.
Just to like spitball, you know, with these regular shows that are, you know, full size, so to speak, you know, they probably were like, all right, we don't want to bash people over the head with new stuff that they don't know.
Yeah.
So, you know, like some of the smaller ones, like the, you know, I, of course, I'm going to go back to the Conduit one where they just, you know, unleashed like all of the Quebec stuff or most of it, you know, that night. I mean, that's a very small, intimate, you know, you're thinking it's like,
yeah,
hardcore fans only, or mainly like pretty hardcore fans are going to pay attention and listen in that small sort of intimate setting. Whereas like a full size venue, you want to make sure people are like paying attention and not zoning out to stuff they don't already know.
Yeah. You know, it's, you know, there's not too many rarities played at this show. We got Spring Theme 75 times total, and She's Your Baby 72 times. And those are definitely the only two that are like, you know, pretty rare. And that's even not even like super rare. And so there's really not that much going on at this show. Like Reggae Junkie Jew, Booze Me Up and Get Me High was starting to get some play around that time. And that's fairly uncommon.
Right.
I mean, I was even noting Buckingham Green is the opener, and that's the most common opener there is out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then LMLYP is the most common like encore song. So in a lot of ways, this was just like, you know, this is basic Ween, you know?
Yeah.
In that sense. But darn it, if I don't remember like anything about the performance, unfortunately.
Yeah, tough one, man.
Yeah, but we did talk to a few people that were there. So I do want to give a shout out to our buddy Peter out in the Facebook world. Because he apparently, him and his buddy Mike, apparently flew in from Seattle to see a couple Ween shows. This is back in 2003. And they were actually in Minnesota the night before. And he apparently, the Bananas and Blow, he said, was dedicated to him and Mike. And he said that, I guess he was a little bit in the circle back then, you know, like a little bit closer with some of the Ween shit going on.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he was actually saying that the AC on the tour bus was busted all that day. But I was actually checking on Google Maps. It's like almost a 12-hour drive nonstop from Minneapolis to Columbus. That's a long haul in the bus. And for it to have the AC be busted. So apparently, the band was just like getting wasted. Like they were like, oh, the AC's busted. This fucking sucks. Let's just get wasted on this long ass fucking drive. Like from Minneapolis.
Well, you know, this is probably me looking at it as the grumpy old man I am now. But if the AC is broken on the bus, wouldn't the last thing you want to do is get drunk? Because it's like, that's probably just going to make you like sweat and make you even hotter and shittier. But then again, when you're a young man, it's like, that's pretty much your go-to, you know, no matter what the situation is, it's like, let's get fucked up.
Not that they were that young back then.
Right. Should have known better.
Yeah, no, and I think that speaks a little bit to the rock and roll lifestyle.
Sure, of course.
Like, they're in, like, full-on tour mode.
Right.
You know, and it's interesting how Ween's good enough that they can, quote-unquote, like, sort of phone it in, right? So,
mm-hmm.
You know, most of the time they can get away with, like, being kind of shitty. And Fred mentioned that Johnny was saying that Gina was really fucked up that night. So that kind of plays in with the whole bus ride, which, you know, and shout out to Melissa, who is another fan on Facebook, because she was actually saying that the main thing that she remembers from this show, quote, how sad Gina seemed.
Mm.
And she said he was super skinny. He was wearing black. I remember him being really thin at that time too.
Right.
From Club Laga.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I could feel the sadness and depression coming off him. And she was like, that's what stands out for the show. So that's kind of crazy that all that shit like points to the, you know, like, oh, Aaron was all fucked up. The band was just getting wasted all the whole way there. And then the people at the show, like remembering this vibe that it was like, no bueno.
Yeah. Bummer, man.
Anyway.
Well, and can I read the one thing that does exist from back then from Brown Bass is Diener's tour diary. So this is from Diener's tour diary, which he did on a regular basis back then. So that you can find on Brown Bass. So this, as Diener writes, well, this may have been the worst show I ever attended, either on stage or as a ticket holder. Sometimes you win and sometimes you lose. And in Columbus, we just sucked a fat one. Sorry if you were there. I didn't think we were capable of having gigs this bad anymore. But Ween are chameleons, constantly reinventing ourselves in new and awful ways. And that's it.
Yeah.
What the hell, man? That leads me to believe that maybe after the show, Diener just collected everyone's tapes and was just like, no, 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 no. Bring them in. Like, I'm not letting this get out there.
Really? You really think so?
No, I'm kidding. Hey, there's a cool poster, though.
Melissa sent us a picture of the poster, and you can see the poster online anyway. But, yeah, it's got, like, a dog. And it's got the W and the N that ends it, like, kind of stick up on the side, like bars.
And yeah,
it's dog sitting on Ween.
Yeah, cool. And that's a cool poster. And, I mean, at least there's something to say, like, this show existed. you know, between the and, you know, at least we have the set list and we have Diener's tour diary. So, you know, there's no denying that it actually happened. Well, and here's another little interesting thing. I mean, not so much, but I'm just looking at that poster and it says at the bottom, only Ohio appearance. Well, and if you look, so that was in 2003. So after that, they played three more shows in Columbus. So there's a few, it looks like from 95, and this is all on Brown Bass, from 95 to this show that we're talking about, they had played at the Newport Music Hall in 95, 98, 99, 2001. Mm-hmm. And then this is the first time that they would play that venue was in 2003. And then after that, the next show is in 2007. But anyway, so this one's kind of lost, unfortunately. We want to say thank you anyway to everyone that helped. So thanks to Fred, obviously, Peter, Melissa, and then there was a couple of other people that threw in a couple of memories, Tracy and Mindy, of just saying, like you said, like, well, I remember being there, you know, and stuff like that, just little comments here and there. So thank you to everyone who chimed in and said something about it and you know, threw in their memories. So that we really appreciate that.
And then also, because you weren't at this show either, it was just me.
Right.
So we don't have, you know, a lot of times we'll have both of our memories to kind of like go off each other. I wonder why you weren't at this show.
I don't know. That's a great question. But, you know, like we were saying, Quebec is about to come out. And shortly thereafter, they're back in Philly.
You're right. Like that, you know, the incentive to go to Columbus would be low for you, knowing they're going to be in Penn's Landing like the following week.
Yeah. So we definitely got a trip down to Philly together for Penn's Landing. So the Penn's Landing show is August 9th.
I believe you're right.
So even if you had said like, hey, do you want to go to Columbus? I was probably like, well, what about Penn's Landing? Like, let's just go to that. You know, so I don't even have a memory of, you know, you guys going to this one. And other than that, man, unless you have something else.
That's all I got, man. Thanks for listening, everybody. And, you know, this will probably be coming out for Christmas. So Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. And
yeah. We hope you have a great Christmas break. If you're getting a break, take some time off. Take some time to enjoy the family. Or hey, just sneak off by yourself and listen to this podcast.
Just put the earbuds in and then just have it playing whenever you're doing whatever you're doing.
Yeah, they don't need to know that you're...
No one has to know the wiser.
Yeah, and Happy New Year. All right. Peace out, everybody. Happy holidays.
Peace be with you.